Onward, Christian soldiers, marching as to war. With the cross of Jesus going on before. Christ the royal master leads against the foe.
Shalom Aleichem to all my pure-blooded white Christian Israelite brothers and sisters out there. I'm Pastor Steve, and this is Word for Word, an ongoing scripture study. My stuff can be found on Anglo-Saxon Israel. Now, Exodus has not been updated yet. I have to get the new version, that's an earlier work that's on Eli's site right now for Exodus, but Genesis is the full new version, and my shows are rebroadcast, of course, on EFR. You can find them on talkshoe.com/TC/135369 under WW. You can find them on David James' site on YouTube and on Yahweh's followers in numerical order. They're being uploaded as we speak. There's been a good response to the show, basically because it's just straight scripture. That's what a lot of people are really looking for. We're going to go into Exodus chapter 5 today. Moshe and Aharon are speaking to Pharaoh and warning him what Yahweh said. And of course he's not gonna listen because he's a knucklehead. Hyksos. He's not even an Egyptian. He's a Hyksos king conquering Hittite, branch of the Hittites. So let's get started in chapter 5, verse 1. Went in afterward Moshe and Aharon and told Pharaoh, thus says Yahweh, Elohe Israel. Now when I use the term Elohe, that means God of, divine being of, that's one of the versions of number 430 in your Strong's. It has different tenses and possessives and all, you know, like English words do. Let my people go, so that they may hold a feast 2287 unto me in the wilderness. Verse 2. Said Pharaoh, who is Yahweh that I should obey his voice and let Israel go? I know not Yahweh, neither will I let Israel go. Okay. Verse 3. And they replied, Elohe the Ibri, that's the Hebrews, has met with us. Let us go, please. 3 days' journey into the desert, 4057, and slaughter, 2076, to Yahweh Eloheinu. They're going to slaughter a sacrifice and offer up a burnt offering. Lest he fall on us with pestilence, 1698, or with the sword. verse 4. Said the king of Mitzrayim to them, "For what reason do you, Moshe and Aharon, let loose the people from their works? Return to your labors." Verse 5. Said Parao, "Behold, the people of the land now are many, and you make them rest." 7673/853. "Cease from working, from their labor, from their labors." Pardon me. Verse 6. Commanded Parao the same day the taskmasters of the people and their officers, 7860, saying, now the taskmasters were of the Hebrews, but the officers were of the Hyksos command. And the taskmasters were just looking to get ahead. They were happy to be overseers instead of making brick. Happens all the time. Verse 7, "You shall no more give the people straw to make brick as you did before. Let them go and gather straw for themselves." Verse 8, "And the quota 4971 of the bricks which they had been making, you shall keep upon them. You shall not, they are idle. You shall not, they are idle. Therefore they cry, saying, 'Let us go and slaughter to Yahweh, to Eloheinu.'" And let's see. Verse 9. "Let there be heavier," 3513. "Service," 5656. That's bondage, service, slavery. "Let there be heavier service on the men, that they may labor in, and let them not believe," 8159, "lying," 8267, "words." In other words, they will stop believing Moshe and Aharon. Okay. He's unhappy that Moshe and Aharon are speaking to the people. Well, I guess so. He's an enemy. You know, what can I say? Verse 10, "Went out the taskmasters of the people and their officers, and spoke they to the people, saying, 'Thus says Parao, I will not give you straw.'" Verse 11, "Go you, get you straw where you can find it, but not any of your work will be diminished. They're going to make them go get straw as well as make the bricks, because they use straw to strengthen the clay bricks, which is what bricks are made out of. They're made out of a certain type of clay. And that's what they used. And they mixed up all the stuff, and then they let it dry in the sun, and then they baked it in a brick oven. Same process today. But they don't use straw. They use other things. "So the people were scattered abroad," 6327. through all the land of Mitzrayim to gather stubble, 7179, instead of straw, 8401. Verse 13, hurried, 213, the taskmasters them, saying, fulfill your works, your daily task, as when there was straw. Well, these are Hebrews talking to other Hebrews like this. Just sort of like the race traders that we've got today. They'll pick service to the enemy over service to their own people. As long as they're put in a position of power and given a little money, they will sell out their brethren. Things haven't really changed, now have they? 14. The officers of the children of Israel, which Pharaoh taskmasters had set over them, were beaten. 5221, that's to smite, and demanded, for what reason have you not fulfilled your task in making brick both yesterday and today, as before yesterday? Verse 15, then came the officers of the children of Israel and cried to Pharaoh, saying, for what reason do you deal this way with your servants? Hey, look, we've been on your side here, Mr. Hyksos King. Why are you beating on us? We're trying to make them work. We're doing what you want. Why punish us? Well, here today, we've got these Shabbos Goy that are doing what the enemy wants done. And you think the enemy is going to be loyal to them? No. They're going to be cast aside like a filthy rag when they're done with them. They're going to use them and then discard them. And when they really start to come down on us and persecute and kill us, they're going to do the same to them. They're going to get nothing for their service. They're going to be lumped right back in with the rest of the white folks when the Edomites try to slaughter the people of Israel here in the United States and Britain and South Africa and France and Germany and Denmark. And it's going to be a worldwide thing against true Israel. And the former servants, like these politicians and the corporate officers, they're going to be lumped in with the rest of us, because the basic goal of the enemy today is to destroy the white race in its entirety. And if they're white, they are a target the same as we are. But they just don't see that. Oh no, they're in a position of power. Now, what goes around comes around. Verse 16, there is no straw given to your servants, and they say to us, make brick. And behold, your servants are beaten, but the fault is in your own people. Verse 17, but he replied, speaking of Pharaoh, you are idle, 7503. You are idle, so you say, let us go and slaughter to Yahweh. Verse 18. Now, therefore, go and work, because else there shall be no straw given to you, yet you shall deliver the quota of bricks. Shows how much he thought of his Hebrew servants. They're not going to get treated any different than the rest of the Hebrews. Verse 18. Verse 19. and saw the officers of the children of Israel that they were in an evil situation. 7:4-5:1. After it was said, you shall not diminish anything from your bricks of your daily task. Well, that's going to be the same here. When things start to turn, the servants of the Edomites here today are going to see, well, maybe my situation isn't what I thought it was. Oh my, what a shame. Verse 20, met they Moshe and Aharon, who stood in the path as they came forth from Parao, and said they to them, Yahweh look upon you and judge, 81:99, because you have made us an offensive, 8:87, odor, 7:3-8:1, in the opinion of Parao, and in the opinion of his servants, to put a sword in their hand to kill us. Well, you were serving him before, and you think he's going to have gratitude? Oh, please. Returned Moshe to Yahweh and said, Yahweh. Now, right there, that Yahweh was substituted. They put Adonai in where Yahweh should be. So I took the Adonai out and restored the name of Yahweh in that passage. For what reason have you done evil, 7:4-8:9, to these people? Why is it that you have sent me? Verse 23, because since I came to Parao to speak in your name, he has done evil to these people, and you have not at all delivered at all, that's 5337, doubled your people. Well, he's bringing about all this bad situation, so he's going to get glory later when he virtually destroys Pharaoh, actually destroys him. Going to put all the miracles on Mitzrayim. This is Yahweh's game plan. Well, Moshe doesn't understand it. It's like people say today, why does bad things happen to good people? Because it's a wicked world. That's why. And there's wickedness here, and we've been in rebellion. We've been in apostasy and churchianity and celebrating pagan holidays like Christmas and Easter and eating pork and race mixing. All these things that are prohibited, we've been doing as a people. So why are we being punished? Oh, please, give me a break. Wake up. This is not Yahweh's fault. It's our fault for being disobedient. We didn't follow our commission way back when and kill all the Canaanites. And we were warned that they would be a thorn in our side and pricks in our eyes. And we should expect something other than thorns and pricks. Yahweh doesn't lie to us. Yahweh tells us the truth. Same way with the food laws. Don't eat this and this and this. They're bad for you. They carry the toxins that they consume from the landscape. Don't eat shellfish because they're a cleansing mechanism. And you get people eating oysters and clams and shellfish and you get mercury poisoning. Well, of course, the mercury doesn't hurt them. They take it out of the water and clean the water for us. And when we eat them, we eat the toxins that they're retaining in their system. Same way with pork, it retains the toxin. It's a garbage animal, it's a cleaning animal. Buzzards and crows and eagles, they're carrion eaters, they clean up the garbage. You don't want to eat, you don't go to a dumpster and eat rotten food. Well, why would you eat Animals that eat rotten food to get rid of it. Yahweh designed these animals to do these things. But we want to eat them. Oh, man, I love this. And then you come down and you wind up in the hospital with mercury poisoning. And you wonder why. Man, I eat oysters all the time. Yeah, I bet you do. I bet you do. And you got a batch of bad ones because they, one of your big corporations owned by the Edomites dumped a bunch of toxins in the water to get rid of them. Instead of recycling the stuff in the approved manner, they just dumped it. And now you just ate some of it. And you wonder why you're sick. Oh, man. Let's get into chapter 6 here in Exodus. Verse 1. Then said Yahweh to Moshe, Now you shall see what I will do to Pharaoh, for with a strong hand he shall let you go. He shall let them go. And with a strong hand he shall drive them out of his land. I guess he's going to put a whooping on him, so he's going to be glad to get rid of Israel. He's going to run them out. Get out of here! Verse 2. Spoke Elohim to Moshe and said to him, I am Yahweh. Verse 3. Appeared I to Abraham, Yitzhak, and to Jacob as El Shaddai. But by my name Yahweh was I not known to them. That passage has been changed in your King James and other Bibles to be I was not known to them by my name Yahweh. They moved the words around and made it a statement. They didn't know my name. Well, they did. It says right in Genesis they called on the name of Yahweh. So your mistranslators have lied to you again. That is a question. But by my name, Yahweh, was I not known to them? They moved the I and the was and made it, I was not known to them. But if you read the Hebrew, is was I not known to them? It is a question. Of course, yes. We knew you by the name Yahweh. They called upon the name of Yahweh. So I fixed that. I unrewrote the Bible. The translators boogered it up. But if you read the Hebrew and the Hebrew word order, it makes perfect sense. But by my name, Yahweh, was I not known to them? Verse 4. Established I also my covenant with them to give them the land of Canaan, the land of their pilgrimage, in which they were foreigners, 1481. Verse 5, I have also heard the groaning, 5009, of the children of Israel, whom the Mitzrayim keep in bondage, and I have remembered my covenant. Verse 6, Wherefore say to the children of Israel, I am Yahweh, and I will bring you out from under the burdens of the Mitzrayim, and I will deliver, 5337, I will deliver you out of their bondage, and I will redeem you. Oh, redeem. Ah, who was Yahshua? Our Redeemer. I will redeem you with a stretched out arm. 5186. and with great judgments. 8201. Did he not tell Abraham that they would be in bondage and that he would pass great judgments on the land that had kept them in bondage way back when he made the Abrahamic covenant? This is a fulfillment of that statement. Verse 7, and I will take you to me for a people, and I will be to you an Elohim, a divine being, capital E, Elohim. And you shall know that I am Yahweh Elohim, your Elohe. That's another version of 430, which brings you out from under the burdens of the Mitzrayim. Verse 8, I will bring you into the land concerning which I did swear to give to Abraham, to Yitzhak, and to Jacob, and I will give it to you for a heritage. I am Yahweh. No doubt who's speaking. He states it. I am Yahweh. I'd be quaking in my boots. I'm quaking in my boots just reading that to you. Wow. Man. Verse 9. Spoke so Moshe to the children of Israel, but they did not listen to Moshe because of the anguish, 7115, of spirit, 7307, and because of harsh bondage. They didn't trust in Yahweh yet, but that's why all these miracles are coming, to show these people who they are dealing with. 10. Spoke Yahweh to Moshe, saying, 11. Go in, speak to Pharaoh, king of Mitzrayim, so that he lets the children of Israel go out of his land. Verse 12. Spoke Moshe in the presence of Yahweh, saying, behold, the children of Israel have not listened to me. How then shall Pharaoh hear me, who am of uncircumcised, 6189, lips, 8193. In other words, his voice and speaking are not worthy of conveying this message. That's a figurative usage of uncircumcised. 13. Spoke Yahweh to Moshe and to Aharon and gave them a charge, 6680, charge, commandment, duty, to the children of Israel and to Pharaoh, king of Mitzrayim, to bring the children of Israel out of the land of Mitzrayim, which is Egypt, for those that don't understand what Mitzrayim is. Verse 14. These are the heads, 7218, of their ancestral houses. This is Moshe and Aharon's family lineage and the lineage of the people that are in bondage right now. The sons of Reuben, firstborn of Israel, Hanok, Palu, Chetzron, and Carmi. These are the clans of Reuben. Each of these men formed their own clan, subsections of the tribe of Reuben. 15, the sons of Shimeon, Yemuel, Yamin, Ohad, Yakin, Sokar, and Shaul, the son of Akinaneth. These are the clans of Shimeon. See, they had mixed blood. Shimeon had a Canaanite wife. And they mixed in. But they had a clan. They were separate from the other Israelites because they were not of pure blood. 16. These are the names of the sons of Levi, according to their generations, 8, 4, 3, 5. Gershon, Kehath, and Merari. And the years of the life of Levi were 137 years. Not Levi, Levi. It's a waw, not a vav. The Jews change it to a vav because they've butchered the Hebrew language too. But I have all the old dictionaries and gives the proper pronunciation. So they can't deceive us with that because they don't even speak Hebrew. They speak that Yiddish crap. 17. The sons of Gershon, Libni, and Shimei, according to their clans. Verse 18. The sons of Kehath, Amram, 6019, Yitzhar, 3324, Hebron, 2275, and Uziel, 5816. Now, Hebron is called Hebron. They changed it to an H to anglicize it. And the years of the life of Kehath were 133 years. The sons of Merari, Mahli and Mushi. That's 4249 and 4187. These are the clans of Levi according to their generations. Verse 20. Amram took him Jochebed, 3115, his father's sister, to wife, his aunt, well, woo, close family. And she bore him Aharon and Moshe. And the years of the life of Amram were 137 years. The sons of Yitzhar, Korach, 7141, Nepheg, 5928, and Zikri, 2147. The sons of Uziel, Mishael, 4332, Eletzaphan, 469, and Sithri, 5644. Verse 23. Aharon took Elisheba, 472, daughter of Aminadab, 5992, sister of Nachshon, 5177, to wife, and she bore him Nadab, 5070, Abihu, 30, Eleazar, 499, and Ithamar, 385. 24. The sons of Korach, Asir, 617, Elkanah, 511, and Abiasaph, 23. These are the clans of the Corki. That's Q-O-R, sound, C-H-I-Y, 7145. Verse 25, Eleazar, son of Aharon, took one of the daughters of Putiel, 6317, to wife, and she bore him Pinchas, 6372. These are the heads of the ancestors of the Lewiim, that's the Levites, according to their clans. Now, who is Pinchas? He's the guy that's going to run the spear through the Israelite messing with the Midianite woman. He's going to pin him to the mattress with a javelin. That's this Pinchas. And he's going to stop the plague among Israel by killing those two. They killed them for race mixing. Back when they obeyed Yahweh. I won't go any further than that. You can guess what I would like to say. But I'm not going to make any such statement. I'll just leave you make it to yourself. Verse 26. These are that Aharon and Moshe, to whom Yahweh said, bring out the children of Israel from the land of Mitzrayim according to their armies. 6635, their hosts, Zebaot. And that's why they call him Yahweh Zebaot. Yahweh of the armies, of the host, Yahweh of hosts. Because a host is an army. Okay? That's older English. They don't use that now. But that's how they spoke. Verse 27. These are they which spoke to Parao, king of Mitzrayim, to bring out the children of Israel from Mitzrayim. These are that Moshe and Aharon. Verse 28, it came to be on the day when spoke Yahweh to Moshe in the land of Mitzrayim. Verse 29, that spoke Yahweh to Moshe, saying, I am Yahweh, speak you to Parao, king of Mitzrayim, all that I say to you. Said Moshe in the presence of Yahweh, behold, I am of uncircumcised lips, and how shall Parao listen to me? They repeat a lot in the scripture. That is their style of writing. It's not necessary. It's called redundant today if we write like that, but that's how they wrote in those days. That's their style. So that ends chapter 6, and I really need to flip a page and grab another piece of chapter 7, because we might do 5, 6, and 7 today. It's 7 is not all that long either, so I've got plenty of time. I don't like to rush through things, but I don't like to have empty spots. This is only 29 verses. Now here, chapter 7 has 29 verses in the Hebrew, not 25 as in the KJV. So it will be a little strange if you're reading through a KJV. You'll have to go into early chapter 8. And it won't match up, nor will chapter 8 with your KJV, because they've even tampered with the verse numbering. Verse 1 in chapter 7. Said Yahweh to Moshe, "See, I have made you as an Elohim to Parao." Now that's a small e Elohim. "And Aharon your brother shall be your prophet." 50:30. As a mighty one, he's going to speak to Aharon, and Aharon's going to speak to Parao. He's not saying that he's a god. This is a metaphorical usage of the word Elohim. Verse 2, "You shall speak all that I command you, and Aharon your brother shall speak to Parao, so that he sends the children of Israel out of his land." Yahweh to Moshe, Moshe to Aharon. "I will harden," 7:1-8:5, "the heart of Parao, and multiply my signs and my wonders in the land of Mitzrayim." 4, "Will not listen to you, Parao, so that I may lay my hand upon Mitzrayim and bring forth my hosts," my armies, "my people, the children of Israel, from the land of Mitzrayim by great judgments." Okay. What did he say to Abraham? He was going to pass great judgments on the people that had Israel in bondage. Verse 5, "And shall know the Mitzrayim that I am Yahweh when I stretch forth my hand upon Mitzrayim and bring forth the children of Israel from their midst." Yahweh's going to bring them out, not Moshe. Moshe's just going to be an intermediary, and he's going to lead, and Yahweh's going to speak to Moshe, and Moshe will speak to Israel through Aharon. Verse 6, "Did Moshe and Aharon as Yahweh commanded them, so did they." I bet. Verse 7, "And Moshe was 80 years of age, and Aharon 83 years of age, when spoke they to Parao." Verse 8, "Spoke Yahweh to Moshe and Aharon, saying," 9, "When speaks to you Parao, saying, show a wonder for you, say you to Aharon, take your rod and cast it before Parao, and it shall become a serpent." 8:5-7:7. Verse 10, "Went in Moshe and Aharon to Parao, and did so as commanded Yahweh. Cast down," 7:9-9:3, "Aharon the rod before Parao and before his servants, and it became a serpent. Called them Parao the wise men," 24:50, "and the sorcerers," 3:7-8:4, "and did in like manner," 3:6-5:1, "the magicians," 2:7-4:8, "of Mitzrayim with their enchantments." They had the evil one. They were Hittites posing as Mitzrayim, like the Edomites are trying to pose as Israel today. "Because cast down every man his rod, and became they serpents." but swallowed up Aharon's rod, their rods. Okay. In verse 9, they used 8577 for serpents. That is tanim. All right. It can figuratively mean crocodile is living on the land and also the water, and it can mean serpent, dragon, sea monster as well. The crocodile was the symbol of Parao and a god of Mitzrayim. So, serpent or crocodile ate up the others. And if it was a crocodile, and we don't really know because that word has several meanings, it would impress them because that was one of their gods, the crocodile god. So there's a little more going on here than just throwing sticks down on the ground. Verse 13, was strengthened, 2388, the heart of Parao, and did not listen to them, as had said Yahweh. Verse 14, said Yahweh to Moshe. Heavy, 3515, is the heart of Parao. In other words, he carries great weight. He's strong, he's mighty. That's the use of heavy there, 3515. He refuses, 3985, to let go the people. Verse 15, go to Parao in the morning. He goes forth to the water, and you shall stand by the river's bank to meet him. And the rod which was turned into a serpent, that's 5175, different word for serpent, you shall take in your hand. Verse 16, you shall say to him, Yahweh Elohe Ibrim, in other words, Yahweh, the divine being of the Hebrews, has sent me to you, saying, let my people go, that they may serve me in the wilderness. And behold, before now you would not hear. Verse 17, thus says Yahweh, in this you shall know that I am Yahweh. Behold, I will smite with the rod that is in my hand upon the waters that are in the river, and they shall be turned, 2015, to blood. 18:18. Verse 18, and the fish that are in the river shall die, and the river shall stink. 8:87. And the Mitzrayim shall become weary, 3811, trying to drink of the water of the river. Verse 19, spoke Yahweh to Moshe, say to Aharon, take your rod and stretch out your hand upon the waters of Mitzrayim, upon their streams, upon their rivers, upon their ponds, and upon all their pools of water. There will be blood throughout all the land of Mitzrayim, both in the vessels, so that it may become blood, and of wood, and in the vessels of stone. Verse 20, so did Moshe and Aharon as commanded Yahweh, and he lifted up the rod and smote the waters that were in the river, in the sight of Parao, and in the sight of his servants, and all the waters that were in the river turned to blood. 21, and the fish that were in the river died, and the river stank, and the Mitzrayim could not drink of the water of the river, and there was blood throughout all the land of Mitzrayim. Verse 22, did so the magicians of Mitzrayim with their enchantments, 3909. And the heart of Parao was strengthened, and he did not listen to them, as had said Yahweh. Verse 23. Turned Parao and went into his house, and changed not his heart because of this either. 24. Digged 2658 all the Mitzrayim all around the river for water to drink, because they could not drink they the water of the river. 25. Smitten 7 days was the river by Yahweh, and was fulfilled. Verse 26. Spoke Yahweh to Moshe, go to Parao and say to him, thus says Yahweh, let my people go so that they may serve me. 27. If you refuse to let them go, behold, I will smite all your territories, 1366, with frogs, 6854. 28. And the river shall bring forth frogs abundantly, which shall go up and come into your house, and into your bedchamber, and upon your bed, and into the house of your servants, and upon your people, and into your ovens, and into your netting troughs. 4863. That's where you need the dough to make bread. 29. And the frogs shall come up both on you and upon your people and upon all your servants. So, concerning the rod of Yahweh in verse 11 and 12, you can refer to the book of Yashar, which is Jasher in English, chapter 79, verse 36. Yahweh had said at the burning bush, I will become whatever I please, basically. Haya asher haya. And the rod became whatever Yahweh wanted as well. He had the power to make the entire universe, so he can make the rod of Aharon into whatever he wants, either a serpent or a sea serpent or a crocodile or Bozo the Clown. You know, we're talking about Yahweh here. We're not talking about mankind science or the feeble attempts of their magicians in that day to impress. We're talking about the creator of the entire universe and his power. And his power is no less today. And he's being permissive and allowing the enemy to do what they are doing today. But the plagues and the wrath of Yahweh are being shown in Mitzrayim in Egypt. And he's going to show the plague and the wrath of Yahweh on the enemies of Israel today. And I'm looking at something in the chat room. The original New Testament being given to the Hebrew people was written in Aramaic, and there are only fragments of Matthew left today. The copies of that are not extant, but it was not originally written in Greek. Greek is a copy of what was written in the Hebrew. So the New Testament was written in Hebrew, but the copies have not survived the test of time. They deteriorated, and we have lost all but a few fragments. It was not written in Greek. It was copied in Greek, and that survived. So we're going to straighten that out. As I said, you can go to talkshoe.com/T C/135369 and look under WW and you'll get these broadcasts, rebroadcasts. My scripture is published in Anglo-Saxon Israel. You can just Google Anglo-Saxon Israel and you'll find all kinds of good stuff there. You can go to Yahweh's Followers, and my shows are posted there. You can go to David James' site on YouTube, and you'll find all kinds of good stuff there, as well as my rebroadcasts. And I listened last night to Pastor Mullet, and he's got a new show on here, and he had Billy, and he was just speaking right to my heart last night. That was a wonderful debut, even though it had the computer glitch. It is absolutely wonderful. So we really want to welcome him. And I want to wish everybody a good day. I'm coming down to the end of the session here for the day. And we'll get into chapter 8 of Exodus tomorrow. And we'll enjoy this book. It's just full of action. Absolutely just marvelous. So we will play the Exodus music. That little play on words there. And we'll see you tomorrow with chapter 8. Shalom Aleichem to all of you, and may Yahweh bless you.
Onward, Christian soldiers, marching as to war, with the cross of Jesus going on before. Christ the royal master leads against the foe.